It's a wonderful sermon. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. That was the first sermon that I read when I first came into the message. That was what God knew that I needed something from there in order for me to accept the message. It was at the beginning of that sermon. So I never can forget it, because it's the truth. Amen. God knows how to get your attention to leave the world and to leave denominations and to answer the questions in your life. Yeah, sorry. Okay. Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody. And good to have our visitors here with us. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for once again allowing us to be here, to worship you, Father, and to be able to display, Lord God Almighty, the works that you have done in our lives. And we thank you, Father, for the continual work that you keep doing in us, Lord God, because, Lord, if it was up to us, Lord God Almighty, we've scratched and clawed, Father God. But, Lord, you had something greater for us, Lord Jesus. And, Father God, you called us by your word, Lord. And you had a purpose for us, Lord, in this hour to manifest your word, Father, because you said you would have a bride without spot or wrinkle, Lord. And she's dressing herself in the word. And I pray now, Lord, that you just bless this time that we have together. Bless your word, Father. And Lord, help us to be able to say something that would edify your people, Lord, and glorify you. Bless everyone that's on their way, Father. Just keep them. And we just commit this time into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. Let's if you have your scriptures or you can read along here, we return to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. It says, all the commandments, I'm going to try to go a little quickly. I have so many slides, but I'll just give you a warning. I may not finish this morning, so we may continue it at another time. But we'll do the best that we can. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. All right. And then verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word, I underline that because it's very important, that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, doth man live. So this is the scripture that Jesus was quoting to the devil when the devil came to tempt him and said, turn these stones into bread. He went back to Deuteronomy and quoted this last verse, this last part of verse 3. And then, of course, in Matthew 4, 1 through 4, it says, then was Jesus led up to the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones that be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, went back to Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And I believe that that's what the bride is in this hour. We're living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. It's not our own opinions, and it's not our own ideas or our own agendas or our own things. Amen. But we have to live, amen, according to the word of God in every aspect, shape, or form. Amen. And so this morning I want to talk about one word off, what it is and what it isn't. Amen. And the reason why I want to talk about that is because we use and we hear this phrase a lot, especially in the hour that we live in. And I believe it, and it's very important, and it's very key. Brother Branham even used it. But the problem is that sometimes I wonder if we're not weaponizing the word to fit our own ideas and our own agendas. And so, you see it in people that use this phrase if they want to support their own petty doctrines, or if they want to support their own ideas or their own agendas about certain things, or if they want to make you feel bad because you are not up here in the Word, but you're still down here in the Word. I believe that that's very dangerous, because you cannot fast pace growth in people's lives. You can't make them grow more than what got where they are now. The only thing that you can do is continue to preach the Word and let God do the work in people's lives. I can't make my daughters when they were born, I cannot make them grow to 10 years old when they were 2 years old. There was no way. It had to take for them to keep eating food, to keep eating, sleeping, resting, eating, sleeping, the whole process, and it's a slow process, right? It's a slow process, but eventually you have faith that they're going to get to 10 years old, and now they're 19 and 13. So this one word off, and I totally believe that, but I want to get to the ins and outs of what one word off means. And I think it's very important. Amen. Brother Branham says in the message Oneness, and I apologize, you know, if I read a lot, but I believe that God sent a prophet. Amen. And I believe what he says. So he says, now let's think seriously. And I apologize if you can't read that, but we try to make the kid as big as we could. Now let's think seriously, because we never be able to think anymore after this mortal life is over. Your thinking is now. So in other words, you have to think now what you're going to choose. You cannot choose after this. You must choose now, for this is the day of choosing, making your choice. Now she, one word, not a whole decalogue, just one word. He's speaking about Eve. That she didn't disbelieve one whole sentence and one whole paragraph. She only disbelieved one word, okay? Or misunderstood one word. And we'll get to that here in just a moment. I hope we have time. 30 minutes is just not enough. Hard for a preacher. She questioned God because it was presented to her in that light, okay? That the word was questionable, all right? All right. And Brother Bram continues, God's word cannot be questioned. He meant just what he said. Now, I want to say this here, that we absolutely believe that God's word cannot be questioned. Right. But at the same time, it's very important for us, because, for example, you cannot take the verse that Judas went and hung himself, and Brother Dale would always say, and you go do likewise. You can't do that, right? Even though that's in the Bible, even though that's in the Word. Right? So we believe every word, and we can't be one word off. But you have to make sure that you know what the context of that word is. What was going on at that moment? What's the context around that word? Because that's very, very important. Because when we miss the context of what God was saying from the beginning of the chapter to that particular verse, or what the events that were taking place at that moment, then what you're liable to do is take that one verse and apply it to your own agenda or to your own idea, and that is very dangerous. Because what you will do with that is you'll start putting people out, you'll start trying to promote your own idea, your own agenda, or your own pet doctrine. And you're not taking the whole thing. That's what one word off means. It means you take the whole context of the word. Not just one verse, not just one word, but the whole context of the word. And that's very important. Listen, When Brother Aaron was talking on Wednesday, you know, how I came out of the Catholic Church and how I came out of, you know, from there we went to Jehovah's Witness, stayed there with them for about 2 years. And from there we were in the Baptist Church. And this is my benefit of having gone through denomination and in the Baptist Church. And Brother Dale would say the exact same thing. Because we made the Word of God the foundation for everything. Amen. And unfortunately, a lot of people in the message, all they know is the message. They don't know. If you tell them, well, what does the Bible say about, ask them, what does the Bible say about this? They just quote a quote to you. No, show me the Word. Because the message is the amen to the Word. The message did not come to replace the Word. The message came to magnify the Word. It's a magnifying glass to make it, the message, more clear. It didn't come to replace the Word. The Word still is the absolute because it was the absolute for Brother Branham. Amen? So give me the Word. People don't know the Word. All they know is a quote. And many, many doctrines and many, many false ideas within our ranks have come because of a quote. Not because of a Bible verse, not because of the scriptures. They only point you to a quote. But when you go back to the Word and try to see if the Word supports that quote, supports that idea around that quote, it does, many times doesn't support it. That is why, we can't be one word off. But not depend that or base that off a quote. As many do and many post on Facebook and do. Not base off a quote, but base it off the Word. Have you studied the Word on that particular doctrine or that particular thing? I want to see it in the Word. So when I came into the message, saints, when I came into the message, it was very simple for me to accept, when Brother Branham would say, my absolute is the Word. Because my absolute was the Word. in the Baptist church, if it's a good Baptist who is they're Bible scholars. And you can't defeat them with quotes. You need to show them in the Word. You need to show them in the Word. And so I was attracted to the message because Brother Branham was taking me back to the Word. He wasn't pushing his own self. He wasn't taking me to him. He was taking me to the Word. Because I saw it in the Word. I read it in the message. And I could compare it with the Word. And it lined up.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
And so I want us to understand that's very key in the hour that we're living in. Man shall not live by quotes alone. I mean, Jesus could have said that about Moses. Man shall not live by Moses alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not out of the mouth of man, not out of the mouth of a prophet, but out of the mouth of God. And of course, we know that God used the prophet. Amen. The prophets to speak his word. Amen. That's what he decided to do. So God's word cannot be questioned. So I want us to take that, amen, and just look at it. When he says that, amen, but you have to understand the context of what is being said, right, in the Bible. He meant just what he said. But she questioned, talking about Eve, she questioned it because it was presented to her, oh, God surely didn't mean that, but he did mean that. God means every word he says, and it doesn't need any private interpretation.
Amen.
It doesn't need any private interpretation, especially if you read it with understanding and you take the context of the word, amen, and then say, Lord, reveal that to me, amen, so that it becomes life. It's just the way he said it. Well, say, how you know about the Bible? I believe that my God has guided this Bible. He watches over his word. He know that atheists and infidels would rise in the last days. So he's watched over it. This is exactly the way God meant it. It's the way It's the way it's to us now.
Yes.
Amen. And then he continues. Now we must believe it. One word off of it, and we lose our fellowship.
Right.
Go off into death. Mm-hmm. All right? Eternal separation from God, just as Adam and Eve did. We must believe God's truth. In the end time seed, again, I apologize for reading, but I believe God sent a prophet, and we believe the message. Now, we found, yes, yeah, I don't want to, you know, don't take my word, amen. The prophets, amen. Now, we found yesterday that in there, that the seed that was sowed, the discord seed that was Satan, sowed the discord when he told Eve a lie. And we find out to disbelieve one word of God spoken, one word of God spoken, caused every death that ever was, every sickness and all this trouble, just misbelieving one word. Again, some man used this to weaponize. You can't do that. We cannot weaponize the word of God to hack people up with it. Amen?
Right.
Well, if just one word off, it'll take you out the kingdom of heaven. I believe that with all my heart. But at the same time, amen, where is that person in their growth?
Right. Right.
You might be just a little bit ahead than them. Amen? Let's be patient with one another. Because we can't force, amen, this on people, amen.
Right. Amen.
God had patience with you, amen. So you must have patience with the person.
Right.
Praise God. Now, she didn't exactly believe it. Talking about Eve, she tried to mix something with it, and nothing will mix with the word of God. It has got to be that because it's the original seed.
Yes.
All right? Now, we're going to go back here to Genesis chapter 2, and I want us to look at something here real quick. I was reading this a couple of days ago, and I thought it was very, very interesting. And it kind of opened up a little this scene to me a little bit more. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely."
Right.
What a gracious God.
Amen.
What a wonderful God. What a God who wants us to enjoy his creation. And that's what he was desiring for Adam. And this is before Eve came on the scene. But this is what he wanted for Adam to enjoy. Eat freely. And now watch. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it." Period. "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." All right? We're good with that, right? All right. But now, listen to what happens, and look what happens when Eve comes into the picture in Genesis 3. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said..." Watch how the serpent distorts. But the way he distorts is to try to get Eve to talk to him. Because remember, he just said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." You may freely eat of every tree. But then the serpent, to try to get her to talk, say, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" So in other words, he was pretending like he misunderstood God. And Eve, can you clear this up for me? can you explain? Can you clear it up? Because I thought I heard he said, but I'm not sure. Did he say we not to eat out of every tree? And what Eve should have done right away is she should have said, "Talk to Adam." That's what Eve should have said right there and then. So she entertained it because why? It's human nature for when something is a question and is asked of us, we want to try to want to give an answer. Because we want to, some of us, for whatever reason, we want to maybe look smart, look like we have the one up on the person, or just to be able to help and inform the person. And maybe Eve, that's all she was doing when she started talking back to him. All right? "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but watch what she says. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Then watch what she adds. Neither shall ye touch it. God didn't say that in Genesis 2 over here. He just said, thou shalt not eat of it. That's it. What Eve adds to it is, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So she started right with the word. She started right. But then she adds a little something to it that God did not say. And so that is the problem with us as human beings, is that we like to take what God said plus our own agenda, plus our own idea, because we think that by us adding a little bit of us in there, we can give God some brownie points. We can give him a bonus. God doesn't want your bonus. God doesn't want your works. God wants you to take his word as is, go and be happy, enjoy it, live it. Amen. And you will be happy if you take it as is. But from what I gather here is that Eve somehow was already thinking, because remember, when Adam was the one who told her what God said. So Adam was almost like her prophet. If you think about it, her messenger. And so it wasn't that God directly told her, because when God told that to Adam, Adam was still by himself, right? And then Adam, he gave the word to Eve. And so I wonder if in her mind, this is just me thinking, but I wonder if her mind, she started already thinking, well, my, that kind of sounds a little bit restrictive. I mean, you know. He says freely eat, but why not that one, you know? Oh, well. And so it could be that that was the reason why she was getting a complex. And she adds this part into the word, neither shall ye touch it. But that's not what God said, okay? So Eve's subtle drift, being one word off, it doesn't start with sin. It starts with a subtle drift. Yes. All right. Eve didn't immediately partook of the fruit or partook in sin. It all started in the mind. Right? Yes. And really, if you think about it, if we had time, we'll get to it, but maybe at another time. The doubt was already creeping in even before Satan tells her, ye shall not surely die. There was doubt already there because she was adding to the word. All right? So Eve wasn't immoral. She was just imprecise. And what does imprecise mean? Imprecise means not accurate. She was inaccurate. Amen? So adding to God's word is just as dangerous as removing from it. All right? So we see that God said, don't eat. But Eve thought it meant don't eat or touch. All right? And what happened is that made God seem harsher than what he really was. And so it opened that door to mistrust. He just seems a little too harsh. And when that starts playing in people's lives, amen, you start seeing them little by little, the word's just not having that much effect anymore. And they kind of start doubting it and kind of start getting bored because, well, it's just too harsh for my taste. A little bit I don't know if I can accept that, you know? And so they start looking at the preacher the wrong way. And they start looking at and then after that is they start looking at the brothers and the sisters at church who are faithful and who are there, amen, to support the word. They're just like the preacher. They're just like the pastor. You know, they see and then eventually you don't see them anymore. because they opened that door of mistrust. Instead of really asking, hey, listen, I don't understand this. Can you explain? What did you mean by this, right? What did you mean by that? So distorted understanding, it comes first before disobedience begins. Amen? Really, the fall didn't begin at the tree. It began in that conversation. That's really where it started. Amen? Praise God. One word off changed how Eve saw God, because after this shift in her thinking, God seemed more restrictive. God seemed to be withholding something from them. God seemed to be threatened by human growth or advancement. Because later the serpent tells him, see, God knows you shall be like gods. So he's holding that from you. All right? So just like Eve, you don't have to reject God to fall. You only have to slightly mishear his word. Eve misheard something. She in the translation of what Adam said to her, she misheard something because she added to the word. And it wasn't that God said, you shall touch it. It was God said, you shall not eat of it. Amen? That's the original one word off right there. Amen? You know, you take, for example, they've done the experiments of if I tell Daniel, yeah. I tell Daniel something, and I say, hey, tell Brother Collie. Brother Collie, tell Sister Charlotte. I'm so sorry, Sister Charlotte. I'm getting older. I'm liable to forget my wife's name. Tell my wife there what I just said. Go back to Bella. Go back to Brother Donald. Go back to Sister Anna. Go back. By the time it gets back to the person, to Brother Richard, all the way in the back, it's going to be said differently. It's not going to be said exactly the way I told it to him. And it's going to be understood differently. And I believe that's exactly what happened to Eve. Because it could depend on how that person is feeling when it gets back to how Donald is feeling, right? I can't believe he's making me talk in the service. I can't believe he's making me look at back in the back and say something to the person. But the other person behind him is, and Sister Anna is excited to be able to do it. So she might understand it a different way than he did, and so forth, right? Depends on the situation, how the person is feeling, if they're cold or hot or whatever, right? And so Eve, amen, I believe that was what's happening to her, amen, that she misheard. Somehow it got lost in translation, and she thought that she could add this word to the word of God. And the serpent said, and we're closing now, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall, this gave now the serpent room to go ahead, since she showed doubt in what she said. Now the serpent, well, now this opened the door for him now. No. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. But it was Eve that gave him that permission. Right? So we'll just stop it right there. Amen. And we'll continue, Lord willing, next time. May God bless you all. Amen. Praise the Lord.